The state budget that lawmakers passed last week came after bipartisan negotiations, and experts say Wisconsin's new voting maps were part of the reason. It's Monday, July 7th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a man from central Wisconsin has broken a speed record for kayaking. And Wisconsin meteorologists say federal funding cuts could make storm predictions less accurate. Stay with us.
Wisconsin life is about the food.
Tacos.
Who doesn't love a taco?
Exactly.
Everybody says, oh, this tastes good. How do you season it? Oh, we can't tell you. Just eat some more.
I wish my lemonade would be so famous that I could just walk down a red carpet.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
Democrats and Republicans are touting their prospective wins in a surprisingly bipartisan state budget that was passed last week. Rich Kramer reports politics watchers say it's largely due to court-ordered redistricting last year.
The two-year spending plan has income tax cuts paired with large funding increases for childcare, special education, and state universities. It had bipartisan support and opposition in the state assembly and Senate. Previous budgets, since Democratic Governor Tony Evers took office, have seen party-line votes without significant negotiations. UW La Crosse political science professor Anthony Chergosky says the new voting maps and fewer GOP senators this year led to compromise.
With a slimmed-down majority, they had to lean on Democrats because they could not pass the budget with just their own members.
The most vocal opponents of the budget deal were Democrats in the state assembly, who said they were left out of negotiations. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A program run by Wisconsin's two medical colleges will expand access to genetic testing for babies with rare conditions. The effort will soon offer so-called rapid genomic testing in neonatal intensive care units in La Crosse, the Fox Valley, Green Bay, and Marshfield. The test screens a baby's full genetic makeup to help clinicians diagnose rare conditions. It's available in large hospitals in Milwaukee and Madison. Jessica Scott Swear is a clinical geneticist at Children's Wisconsin and the Medical College of Wisconsin.
The first step to be able to treat rare disorders is to make that identification of them, find them, so therefore we can treat them.
Her team hopes expanded access to testing will make a big difference for the few babies across the state who need it. A Rib Mountain man recently set the fastest overall record for pedaling down the Wisconsin River. Anna Marie Yanni has more.
This spring, 43-year-old Andy Nevitt paddled down the entire Wisconsin River faster than anyone on record. It took him just 3 days, 20 hours, and 45 minutes. He slept only about 5 hours the whole time.
You know, there are a few times along the way where, you know, I kind of thought to myself, what am I doing?
He persevered through rapids, low water, bone-chilling cold, and a full-body muscle spasm. Nevitt beat the previous record by just under 6 hours.
This is easily the hardest I've pushed myself through a race or an attempt or anything like that before.
This was his second time paddling the whole river. He shaved off about 30 hours from his previous attempt in 2023. Anna Marie Yanni, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The central United States has been hit particularly hard by tornadoes this year. So far, 2025 has had the second most tornado reports in the last 15 years of records. Dan Javos is a professor of atmospheric science at Purdue University.
It's been a pretty violent year. We've had quite a number of tornado outbreaks that have resulted in tornadoes that have caused pretty widespread damage and quite a lot of deaths.
Javos says climate change seems to be pushing tornadoes east and into cooler months of the year, but there's not been an increase in particularly strong tornadoes in recent years, and increases of weak tornadoes could be thanks to better detection technology. Coming up, we'll hear from meteorologists who say the Trump administration budget cuts to the National Weather Service will mean less information about potentially deadly storms. Stay with us.
Current and emerging issues with a decidedly Wisconsin point of view.
We're putting the spotlight and sharing the stories and inspiration from the people making a difference in their communities.
My supreme hope is that this book is part of a greater mission to improve the health of women across the country.
Some people are crying out because they need somebody just to be nice. Don't judge, nudge, and push them forward.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
And finally, when severe weather strikes, you'll hear National Weather Service watches and warnings broadcast across WPR. People in every corner of Wisconsin and the nation rely on the Weather Service for timely reports and life-saving information. But along with other agencies, the National Weather Service is dealing with the personnel storm. Hundreds of jobs have been eliminated at field offices in recent months by the White House cost-cutting efforts. Bob Lindmeyer recently retired as senior chief meteorologist at WKOW-TV. Chris Vigasky manages WiskNet, a network of weather and soil monitoring stations across the state. They spoke with Kate Archer Kent on WPR's Wisconsin Today.
Chris and Bob, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for having me as well.
Bob, an open letter is circulating from all five former directors of the National Weather Service warning that lives are at stake here with the recent funding cuts to the National Weather Service. What stands out to you about the sentiment in this letter?
I just entirely agree with the sentiment. I think their concerns are entirely justified. I've worked a lot with local National Weather Service offices in Wisconsin throughout my career. They're wonderful. Broadcast meteorologists cannot do their job without them. So I'm very concerned, as they are, about the staff reductions that are going on.
And this letter says that the White House's budget blueprint for 2026 would essentially eliminate NOAA's research functions for weather. How much is weather research embedded in NOAA's mission as a federal agency?
It's a big part, no doubt about it. And over the years, I've relied heavily on the research that they've put out, especially in regards to climate change. So that's a huge thing. It would be immensely impactful in a negative way to the ongoing research that's going on about climate change. NOAA has a big part to do with that, with that research.
NOAA being a part of the National Weather Service, and the Weather Service has lost hundreds of positions. We've seen reports that NOAA is in the process of rehiring, some of these employees at its field offices to refill roles. Is it risky for weather prediction as jobs change hands here?
Without doubt. That disruption, it's a finely tuned machine that the National Weather Service and NOAA has had ongoing for many, many years. When you disrupt that finely tuned machine, it's hard to get it back going the way it was.
Chris, turning to you, these cuts to federal funding and staffing shortages, they've led to weather balloon launches being canceled. The National Weather Service says it launches weather balloons twice daily from 100 upper air sites. Can you tell us what normally happens with these balloons when all is going according to plan?
Meteorologists have been launching weather balloons for almost 100 years now. We continue to do it because that is the only way that we get direct measurements of everything that's going on above us in the atmosphere. We can't install 100,000-foot-tall weather stations. That would have significant impacts on aviation and everything else that goes on, and not to mention it would be very expensive, and I don't know too many people that would want to climb a 100,000-foot tower.
No.
So what we do is attach radio sondes, which is a small all-in-one weather station, to the bottom of a balloon and let that balloon rise through the atmosphere and collect those measurements. We get measurements of temperature, humidity, wind speed, wind direction, air pressure every 15 feet through the atmosphere. And that is a huge component of the weather modeling that helps us to make predictions for the short term and for the long term.
We have one weather balloon launch site here in Wisconsin, that being in Green Bay. Do you know if the launch schedule there has been affected at all?
The Green Bay office was one of the first sites to actually have a reduction in balloon launches. That has come back closer to normal. They've been doing twice daily balloon launches, but it is still at risk if staffing shortages or funding cuts continue to be in place. Because it takes two people to do a balloon launch, and it's a couple-hour process. This balloon is 5 to 6 feet in diameter when it's fully inflated, and if it's breezy, it can, you know, drag somebody around. So if there are any continued staffing shortages, funding cuts, that puts the Wisconsin's balloon launch site at risk again.
Bob, connect these weather balloons to the work that meteorologists are putting together ahead of the nightly news.
Yes, we use them all the time. We look at those temperature profiles that the radio sondes produce to help us especially analyze severe weather. There are patterns that you look for in that upper air data in terms of temperature, dew point, all the different variables that was just mentioned that helps us determine the potential of severe weather.
That was Bob Lindmeyer and Chris Vigasky speaking with WPR's Kate Archer-Kent. And finally, a quick check of your forecast for the day. It'll be mostly sunny and comfortable across the state today, with high temperatures in the 70s and 80s. Could see a couple of scattered showers overnight in the southwestern portion of the state. Otherwise cloudy, with low temperatures down into the 50s and 60s overnight. Back into the 70s and 80s once again tomorrow. And that'll do it for this Monday. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crowe. Great to be back with you, by the way. Our producers today were Rob Menser, John Davis, and Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.